Welcome to the Matt and Ez Show. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ez.
Guys, and today we are talking about arguably the single best thing to ever hit Netflix, Cobra Kai. Ez and I have been plowing through it. I'm in love. It's like, it's so awesome. So we're going to be talking Cobra Kai. Then we're going to go into our favorite 80s movies. That is favorite 80s movies, not necessarily the best. I'm sure there's going to be people that disagree with our lists. But you know what? Hey, it's our list. It's our favorites. Yeah. You guys can send us yours. Hey, and we'll read them. And then we're going to be talking best food to eat at the movies. Okay?
Yeah.
So first and foremost, let me just say, I remember seeing this show being produced a couple years ago, and it was on YouTube Red or YouTube Premium or whatever they were calling it at the time. I think it's changed names. And it's called Cobra Kai, and it is a follow-up to Karate Kid, the Karate Kid movie, Daniel-san, Mr. Miyagi, you know, the crane kick, wax on, the whole deal. So it takes place like 30 years after, and it follows the story of Johnny, right, who is the he is Johnny Lawrence, right? He was the kid that Daniel-san beat, okay,
yeah.
in Karate Kid. And so he's like the main character. His life has been a mess ever since that tournament, right,
yeah,
that he loses. And then at the beginning of Karate Kid 2, his coach, John Kreese, right, he's beating him up, and then Mr. Miyagi goes and kind of beats him up. And I think that's really kind of the end of it. Unless I'm forgetting something. I don't think he's in Karate Kid 3. I have to go rewatch it. It's on my list now that I finished season 1 and 2. I was like, that's the one I forget about the most. So I got to go rewatch Karate Kid 3. But it's like his story, and his life is troubled, you know. He drinks a lot. He's kind of a repairman. And he ends up running into Daniel LaRusso, our hero from the Karate Kid movies. And things don't go very well. And the next thing you know, they both have rival dojos. Okay.
Yep.
And it is the Karate Kid all over again, but it's kind of from the perspective of our character, Johnny Lawrence, who is, you know, is the villain. And so it's kind of like, he's now in a way kind of the good guy. I would say that like they're both kind of a good guys, but Daniel LaRusso, right, is now in a way, sometimes he's a jerk. I'm like, wow, dude.
Yeah.
And the way he describes it is like, hey, he was bullying me back in, and it's like, okay, cool. And it's like all the kids in it, they're like, it's like the new generation of Karate Kid. It could not be one of the best. I mean, it's like Stranger Things good.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so it was originally on YouTube Red when they were trying that. So a lot of people just didn't see it. I remember seeing trailers and stuff for it, but I never gave it the time of day. But now it is on Netflix, and millions of more people are watching about it. Everyone's talking about it on Twitter. I literally watched like the first 5 episodes, and I messaged Ez, and I was like, dude, have you ever heard of Cobra Kai? And he was like, no, what's that? And I was just like, dude, like,
yeah.
Here's where we're at. I think it was when I texted you and I said, you know, like 4 or 5 episodes in, not spoiling anything. Obviously, the guy who plays Mr. Miyagi, I think his name's like Pat Morty or something like that. He's passed away since this, and I was like, dude, we are at Mr. Miyagi's grave, and you are like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so I plowed through it. Ez plowed through it even faster than I did, and it is amazing. Ez, the music, the feel, everything. There's 2 seasons so far. The third season, I think, has already been filmed, but there was, from what I read, there was something going on where, is it still going to be on YouTube anymore? Seems like that's not the case. Netflix bought it, and so it is coming in 2021. Ez, I mean, what are your thoughts on this show, man?
Well, I'll say this. Ever since I've watched it, I finished season 2 just this past weekend, and the first week of school, I was actually asking my students, have you seen this? And a couple of them had, and so they knew exactly, like, we were quoting bits and pieces of it. And I've been pushing it to anybody. I texted my dad. I said, we've got a show to watch. And I told him, I just gave him a quick little rundown, and he was like, sounds awesome. Let's do it. Because growing up, I mean, The Karate Kid is such a good movie, and it's a wholesome. You can learn a lot.
It's classic. It's iconic. It's classic. I mean,
and my parents would let me. That was one we could just watch anytime it was on. It was great. I was allowed to watch that. So, Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3, and yeah, it was great. So I freaking love it, man. I just blitz through it. I mean, it's got me so jacked up. Like, it's changed the music that I'm listening to. I'm listening to different stuff in the gym now. Like, I looked up local karate classes. I'm trying to find a dojo. Like, I'm buying the merch. I mean, seriously, I was like, this is insane. At one point, I wish I would have had a camera on. I just stood up when Danielson started to go through like the motions and stuff, and was doing the whole wheel technique, and was, you know, I was like, oh my god.
And there's a secret Miyagi technique we have not seen.
Yeah, things we still have to learn. Oh, it's so cool, dude. I just was like, this is next level. I did not expect it to be this good. And I gotta say, yeah, Johnny Lawrence, I'm feeling for him. I'm starting to see things from his perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing I love most about this series is, and this is one of the reasons I really love the remake of the Power Rangers movie they did a couple years ago. I remember when I saw the trailer for that movie and I was like, it's going to be awful, because they're like, sometimes, you know, we're in this era where we're constantly remaking things and redoing movies and TV shows and all these new adaptions. And sometimes they try to take something that was, you know, it was like a cartoon or something that was meant for a younger audience, and now they try to make it serious. And what happens in that is you end up losing what made that special in the first place, right? And I love that this series does not shy away from what it was, mm-hmm. right? They're true to the source material, and it works so well. They are able to take, and it's the same actors. I mean, that's huge too. I mean, it's the same actors from, you know, the originals, and they bring them forward. And not only are they able to blend it so well with what happened before, but now there's the new generation, and all of the new supporting cast are great. It's a huge cast, and I think they actually do a pretty good job of balancing the storylines. Like, sometimes it's really difficult when you have these huge casts to end up balancing the storylines, because you end up feeling like people just get lost and stuff like that. I think they do a really good job. You know, and the crazy thing is who knows what season 3, and it seems like there's going to be a season 4, are going to be like, now that some of that Netflix money is hitting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Miguel is by far my favorite character of the new cast. He is Johnny's first student, right? And I love how, in the first episode, we'll just kind of spoil some of this. They do so many throwbacks to, you know, the original movie, but now it's like in reverse, or it's just different. You see this character Miguel, right? He's kind of like new to the school and he has, you know, stuff like that. And he actually gets bullied a little bit, and then Johnny Lawrence, right, beats up these like 6 kids that were beating up on him. He's like kind of, you know, drinking, and then like they start pushing him around, so he wrecks all those guys. So then he's begins to start teaching Miguel karate, and then, like, you know, it's in the trailer, but, you know, he's having him do chores, and he's like, is there any way you want me to wash these windows? He's like, I don't give a shit, you know, like, instead of, you know, wax on, wax off, right? And so it's funny to see that different side of it, and all the new cast, right, is so good, and just the back and forth and everything, and it's good, man. And then, you know, Johnny and Daniel have a rivalry, and it, every time you think, okay, they're about to put the rivalry behind them, kind of becomes friends. Something happens, and nope, we're right back. And then you have John Kreese, right, who is the coach of Cobra Kai in Karate Kid 1. He's in Karate Kid 2, where he kind of, you know, is like, geez, he's beaten up on Johnny after he's lost. Then Mr. Miyagi steps in, and then he's a villain again in Karate Kid 3, and he's in it, and it's huge. So I don't really want to spoil too much more or anything like that, but I have to say, it is so great the way they're doing this, and I just hope that the next 2 seasons are going to be strong. I'm still waiting on Hilary Swank to show up. Are we going to get Hilary Swank the next Karate Kid?
I hope so. I really do. We talked about it. I was like, because one of the things we were saying is that, and by the way, before I get to that, did you see there is a little, Netflix did like a a teaser trailer.
There is a tiny teaser because now it's on Netflix. Yeah. I did watch the teaser trailer, and there's like 1 second of new footage.
And what do you call that thing? The
It's not a katana. It's the same thing. It's a scythe. It's the same thing that Raphael uses from the Ninja Turtles. Who, unfortunately, are a 1990s movie, so they will not be in our list, which we will get to here in a bit.
But, yeah, so I saw that, though, and he's fighting, and like, you know, you can't tell who it is. I've tried to pause it.
I think it's actually called a Sai, because a scythe is like the long, but I think it's a Sai.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just sick, because Daniel-san looks over, and it's just being, you know, slammed down into the ground. You're like, who is he fighting, you know? So, but anyways, it would be so cool to see just to bring some of that storyline would be amazing. Yeah,
there's theories of a character who shows up. There's a girl character who shows up in season two, and we only know her first name. Yeah. And the big rumors is who is her parents? Because there are people saying that maybe it's the villain. I think it's like Silver. As Adam Silver is his name from Karate Kid 3. Some people are saying it is Allie. Who was like the girlfriend in the second movie, right? Is it her? And there's rumors that there's everything she might come back. They've been hinting to it a lot, so it's great. And I gotta say, there's an episode where Johnny goes and meets up with some of his old friends, and it's the same actors who played his like supporting cast, right? The other Cobra Kai kids from Karate Kid. And you can tell it's the same actors and everything. So it is so true and good to the original, to the original series. So, I mean, it's great. I highly, highly, highly encourage people. I mean, it's got Ralph Macchio in it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same cast. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That other character you're talking about, the Terry Silver, from Karate Kid 3, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Could you imagine if that was, like,
well, if you look at her, man, she kind of looks like him
a little bit.
It's his daughter playing it or anything, but you know, sometimes you cast people because they look, you know, a certain way.
Yeah.
So you know, Ralph Macchio and William Zabaka, who is Johnny Lawrence, and Will Smith are executive producers. So you know, Will Smith, the Karate Kid, which is the one with his son in it, and Jackie Chan. So you know, he has at least been involved in the series, because I think he also produced that movie. But they did say from the interviews I was reading is as they progress this forward, that movie is not part of the Cobra Kai canon. So they're going to take movies 1 through 4, which includes all 3 movies with Ralph Macchio, and then the 1 movie with Hilary Swank. So it's great, man. And it just has me thinking as we'll begin to transition here into our top 80s countdown. There are so many other things where you have, maybe you have a couple movies where you could do a series like this, like let's go into the future and kind of what's going on with it, and do it as a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. That I think would be, you know, I think would be so cool, right? Like, now I'm just like, I would love, like, I mean, could we get a Die Hard series? Could we get a Lethal Weapon series?
Sure.
Could we get, I mean,
yeah,
there are so many iconic things. You could go from like the 90s and stuff like that as well, where you could do a series on it. And I'm telling you right now, because I think this is going to do really well, I think we will begin to see that. we will begin because that's what happens, is something comes out and then everyone races to do the next thing.
Yeah, well, and I think, like you said, the best part is that if you have some of the original cast that you can bring back, and you use the flashbacks to show us that this is directly tying into that movie, and it's an offshoot series, now I'm in, because you've kept me. I hate when they go and they do something, they try to change
and
this is way better. It's just stirring up mm-hmm. all that nostalgia, and so it's like so, so good. And also, I think you and I were talking, it's neat that these actors get to go back and think of their kids, who are like, dad and mom are back in like acting. Mm-hmm. They haven't been in it since the 80s. Maybe they didn't have the best acting career or whatever, and then boom, here they are, back on top. It's cool to me. I think it's really
right.
Cool.
Well, and I think one of the things that blesses this show so much, and I don't mean to be a jerk or anything, but I think one of the things that blesses this is that, you know, Ralph Macchio, obviously, who was your lead, his acting career outside of, you know, Karate Kid was never really anything. Like, he didn't become like a huge, huge, huge actor. I mean, he's definitely acted in things, you know, over the year. But I mean, I would say that the majority of people, when you look at him, you're going, he's the Karate Kid, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in this movie Crossroads, which I remember, which is basically the Karate Kid with guitar. And he was in, like, you know, he was in My Cousin Vinny. But I mean, after that, I mean, you know, it's like, it's kind of hit and miss, you know, TV and stuff like that. But he's certainly not like somebody who, you know, he's not like, say, like, you know, a lot of the, you know, like all the other big kind of stars in the 80s, you know, I mean, like Jean-Claude Van Damme and stuff like that. Like, those guys went on to do, you know, they did a bunch of other stuff and are known for many things, where I think he's just kind of known for that. So I think actually in this kind of strange thing, it ultimately ends up ends up kind of blessing him in this series. And a lot of these other people, it's like, I don't really know them from a lot of other things.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know what I kind of forgot? I forgot that Ralph Macchio is in Outsiders, which is a freaking classic. That's a great movie. I mean, he's...
Yeah, like, you know, here's the thing, and people might get upset with me. You don't like it? I don't think I've ever even seen this Outsiders movie, When I was looking up 80s, when I was looking up 80s movies, because I was like, you know, trying to come up with my list, everyone's like, I was looking up top 10 lists, and everyone's like, how is Outsiders not on your thing? And I was like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, well, I know it because our kids read it in school. And so we're always, it's a film that's always shown in, I think, 10th and 11th grade, maybe. I know sometimes it's done at younger, like middle school level too. It's really cool. It's really a good book and a good.
No. I have seen this. Yeah, because it has a young Rob Lowe. Yeah, because like the cast is insane.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's got Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Emilia Estevez, Tom Cruise. Yeah.
It's not one that I would go. Right. I only watch it because we sometimes play in school. So yeah, it's like. Yeah, but right. It was. Yeah, I forgot that he was in that though. He's actually. Yeah, he's in that movie. So, yeah. Anyway, so I'm glad. I'm happy for him. I'm excited to see season 3. Man, I mean, 2021.
Yeah. I'm there. All right, Ez. Let's move into it. Our top 10 favorite 80s movies. I think what we'll do this is we'll just go back and forth, and we're probably gonna have some that are on. That are on the same list. That's certainly okay. But you know, so if we have it on it, we can say, hey, well, that's where I have this movie as my number, whatever. So I can go first here. So okay, at my number 10, okay, I have a karate movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Kumite. Okay, Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport. All right.
Wow.
Bloodsport to me is just one of the – I think it's by far his best movie. I think it's certainly Jean-Claude Van Damme's most iconic movie. You and I both love that theme song, you know, in Bloodsport. And then you just get, you know, you get, it's, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's pretty much your standard karate movie. We see him training with his master at the beginning. He learns, you know, some techniques like how to fight, use your surroundings, mm-hmm. Use your senses. We get to the end, you know, he's taken down his friend, right? And he's wearing the Harley Davidson, you know, bandana as they get ready for that final fight. Jean-Claude Van Damme is, you know, laying into him, and then he cheats, throws the powder in his eyes. Right. He can't see.
Yep.
Right. You know, he can't see. And then, of course, you know, he remembers his training, uses his senses, and wins the fight. I mean, it's a classic junk. I think it's that and Kickboxer are really kind of the two Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, I think, if you're going to pick one as probably his best, because Jean-Claude Van Damme has been in a lot of like good movies, and a lot of his movies are, I mean, they're bad. I'm not going to lie. They're pretty bad. Of all of those like big action stars, right?
Yeah.
He was great in Expendables. Expendables 2, he's the villain. You know, the Expendables, those where they have all of the action stars come together. But I mean, I also don't consider him as like, you know, I think if you're going 80s action stars, it's Arnold and Sylvester Stallone, and then the list, you know, really begins after that. But I'd say he I wouldn't even put him in that second tier. I'd say, you know, then you have like Bruce Willis, and you know, as you go down, then he's maybe in that like C tier. But yeah, so Bloodsport is my number 10.
Yeah, that's one of my dad's favorite movies. He loves that movie. Anytime it's on, he's all about it. We gotta watch it. Gotta sit down, and you know, yeah. So, all right, cool. Yeah, so you're number 10, Bloodsport. For me, this actually snuck in here. I'm just, again, favorites. Surprisingly, this is not higher for me because I'm a big fan of this superhero, but it's Superman 2, right?
All right,
so Superman 2. I think, I mean, if I had a chance to put a Superman movie in here, I was like, I'm going to go with Superman 2. Although we were talking the other day, and Superman 3 and 4 are also 80s movies, and I actually prefer Superman 4. I mean, like, so I'm, but right. I think Superman 2 is better. So I was like, I'm just going to go with Superman 2. But all of them are great to me because I'm a huge Superman fan. But yeah, I love Superman 2. It's solid. And had to sneak that in there. And yeah.
Which one is that? So Superman 1 is where he turns back time.
Yeah.
What is it? How does he? Oh, Superman 2 is where she figures out he's Superman, right?
Yeah. At the she figures
where he like gets sick and she shoots him and.
Yeah. So no. So he is facing.
Zod.
Yeah, and he,
yeah,
the whole, he uses the like red sun technology and everything, but then he does actually, depends on which cut we're talking, Richard Donner cut, or are we talking the original?
Right, that's know? True.
So
yeah.
Richard Donner cut, he flies back around the world and just reverses time, and you know, and is able to kind of undo the mistake that he made, or you know, Lois figuring out who he is. But then, is that the way of it? Yeah, or is it the other way? So then he has the kit. Because actually, on my shelf, I have the Richard Donner cut. That's the one that I sometimes will watch.
There's two, right.
But then
yeah,
there's
two different cuts.
Yeah, there's the kiss, though, where he kisses Lois and she just forgets everything, you know, which is kind of crazy. And you're like, wait a second, what?
Right, yeah.
What? He can do that?
Yeah, so in the original cut, right, that's where you have Zod and all those people. They're in the Phantom Zone. They come out. And in this one, yeah, Lois suspects Clark and Superman are the same person after Clark is absent when Superman appears after saving a falling kid. That night when Clark trips over a rug, Lois discovers that his hand is unburned, forcing Clark to admit he is Superman. Yeah, because they're and so let me see what else happens here. Yeah, he takes her to the Fortress of Solitude, shows her his past. Superman, yeah, removes his superpowers by exposing himself to red kryptonite sunlight in a crystal chamber, becoming a mortal. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, Superman 1 is by far the best of the original series. I think I prefer 4 over 3, because 3 is the one with Richard Pryor and the supercomputer,
yeah,
right?
It's so weird.
4 is where he fights. What is it?
Fights the guy, the
Radiation Man. Yeah. It's like Radiation Man,
yeah.
And it's kind of his thing. And at that point, it's almost like, yeah, the series is getting a little tired. So yeah, I'm with you, because that Zod fight is huge, man. Right? I mean, yeah, he fights Zod and Lex Luthor. And he kind of has to do, and Ursa, so he has to do everything in that. This is where he kisses her and wipes her knowledge of it, and then
so that guy's in 4. 4 is one of my favorites, even though it's not that great. It's 1987, but he faces down Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man.
Lex Luthor is the one who broke him out of prison, schemes to kind of create Nuclear Man. It's all about, you know, putting an end to that. Which Superman 2 starts off with the whole idea that he takes the arsenal, the nuclear arsenal. It's what breaks Zod and everyone out of the Phantom Zone. So he's trying to do a good thing for the world. One of my favorite parts is in Superman 4, and it's something it's politically motivated a little bit, but there's the quest for peace speech that he gives. It's just a really really good moment for Superman. So
yeah, and Gene Hack, I mean, first of all, Christopher Reeve, he is Superman.
100%.
I mean, just 100%. He is Superman, and Gene Hackman is just perfect as Lex Luthor. He is. I've always preferred his kind of version to Lex Luthor, where he is a little more, in a way, like kind of comical, right? He is a little more comical, more extravagant, rather than like what Lex Luthor has kind of become in like the, you know, with the animated series and, you know, Justice League and all that stuff, where he's bald, right? And they're just different, right? They're just different kind of portrayals of him, where he is like more serious and he's like wearing, you know, suits of armor and stuff like that. I mean, I do love, I forget his name, but the guy who plays Lex in Smallville, I think he does a really good job.
Oh, Michael Rosenbaum.
Rosenbaum, yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I do like his portrayal of Lex in that universe. It works really well, and he's a great counter to Tom Welling's Clark/ Superman. Yeah. I mean, those guys are just so good on screen together.
Right. Yeah, Smallville's great. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Okay. Well, gonna go to my number 9. Now, while I will say this isn't my number 1, in the end, there can be
only one. No. How did I not have that on my list? Oh my god.
Oh my god, man. Okay. The Highlander.
Oh my god, dude.
I mean, it is so epic, man. Oh. Highlander is just, it is 1986. It is just a absolute classic, man. You have Christopher Lambert, who becomes Raiden in Mortal Kombat, right? Yep. When we do our 90s list, stay tuned for that, because I'm sure that'll be on both as and I's. And Sean Connery, man. And if you've ever seen a movie called The One with Jet Li, it came out like early 2000s, I believe. Kind of a similar premise in that there are many Highlanders, you know, all over the place, and as you kill more of them and stuff like that, the whole goal is to be the last one remaining. And so Connor McLeod.
Oh, there can be only one. I can't tell you how many times growing up we used to say that to each other, you know, just about like we're in competition or something, you know, or talking about sports.
So many, man, you know, and it's just like, it's just one of these epic, like when you think of like movies like that take place in the 80s, it could not be more quintessential, you know. You have Connor McLeod, right? He's our Highlander, right? And so, you know, the whole deal is, you know, you're like kind of immortal, right? I mean, he's from like the 16th century, right? But now he's living today, and the whole deal is there's kind of this warring thing going on, and then you have Sean Connery, right? Who's kind of his, he's kind of his mentor, right? He's also in that thing. And then you have the Kurgan, right? So that's his nemesis. You have the different tribes that they're from. And so then he's trying to kill the few remaining immortals and claim, you know, the prize, which is, okay, boom, you're going to be the most powerful. There is a director's cut of this, which is a little bit longer, and it's sweet. So
yeah.
The Highlander is a classic. There are a few more movies in the franchise, but to be honest, they're not really that good. There was a TV series which
Duncan McLeod,
Christopher Lambert shows up in like episode 1. So that would be kind of, I think that's would be kind of the it's pretty good. I'm trying to remember. I remember them saying at some point they had plans to bring it back, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's ever happened. So the last one is Highlander: The Source, which was 2007. And it looks like it even release in theaters. I don't know, but the original one is the one, man, because in the end there can be only one. Yeah. It's the whole goal. You want to be the best. It's in a way, yeah, it's similar to the movie called The One, with Jet Li, and that there's all that ones, they kind of take a different approach, but I would say it's obviously based kind of on this idea that's in the Highlander, in which there are people traveling to kind of different dimensions to kill various versions of themselves, because as you do, you become more and more and more powerful until you are the final, one left. So that's kind of the whole goal about it. It didn't do very well in the box office, but over time, obviously it's been great. So that is my number 9 Highlander.
Dude, that's so cool. That's so sick, because I actually used to watch the Highlander TV show just from time to time. Not like straight through, but like...
When it was on.
In the 90s, yeah. So, okay. On to my number 9 here. So kind of along that same line, the idea that there can be only one. Well, if there's only one, then that means you're the last, right? So my number 9 is The Last Starfighter. 1984. Again, we're going favorites here. People might not think this is a very good movie. If you've not
seen...
That's
okay. This is our favorites.
I mean, if you've not seen The Last Starfighter, I highly encourage it. Honestly, also, I'll just throw this out here for the guys. If you're single and you're trying to make a move, right, and you're thinking, what's a good movie for that first, second, third, whatever date you're on, The Last Starfighter. I mean, you got to, it's a go-to, it's solid. It is such a solid, solid movie. It actually, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 74%. It's, 6.8 out of 10 IMDb. So, it's pretty solid. And it's the idea here is, this is one of those that I actually think they could turn this into a series. I know that we were talking the other day, and you had said, maybe they're trying to, they talked about doing a remake or something. But
right, yeah, I'd yeah.
Yeah, but the way I see this is the whole idea is there's a video game. And you go to this video game, and it's basically the Academy has put out these tests in various worlds to see if there are individuals who have the talent and the ability to be a starfighter. Right. And they're it's just sick, man. Like, there's one kid playing this game, trying to get the high score. He's been training on this video game since he was a youngster. He gets frustrated one night. He goes out and he's having a fight with his girlfriend. His life's not going right. He goes back to the old video game. He plays. He gets the high score. He runs a perfect in the video game. And literally, it's like, it's such a class. All of a sudden, you get the lights are coming down. There's spacecraft. Things get real eerie. He's hearing something. They show up. They're here to acquire the last starfighter. They need him to join the Academy. And times are desperate. And so it's just such a sick. And dude, it's like, not only is there this test to see if who has the ability to pilot these very special starfighters, but the guys who go out to recruit them, on the other side, they are also being pursued by these assassins. So when he goes to acquire this guy, there are other aliens who are trying to assassinate other people from acquiring the last starfighter. It is just sick. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I really, really want a good reason to go watch it. So, I guess I gotta, come up with a reason. I don't know. Go on a date. Have somebody over.
No, man. Hey, to me, the thing I always remember, the cover to the DVD where it's this kid and he's just looking up and it's an outer space.
Yeah.
it's very Tron-esque, that classic image of Luke, kind of holding up the lightsaber, which, by the way, I guess, guys, we should say we are excluding Star Wars from this list because obviously it would be Ez and I's number one. Yeah. So we wanted to just because we were on a Star Wars podcast, it's obviously our real number one. Whether you go Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, it wouldn't be fair. So we said let's cut out a bunch of these other ones and go with it. Yeah. But yeah, Last Starfighter, man, it is cool. The idea that you just goes to this video game. He's playing, and he doesn't know it, of course. And then secretly, he's recruited.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just, it's so cool. It's like, well, we need somebody who could step in and pilot our,
yeah,
pilot our ship. And so obviously, you know, Star Wars and everything was blowing up, and so everyone's now racing to make these kind of, like, you know, there's Star Trek movies too. There's Star Trek movies in the 80s. Maybe Ez has some of those on his list, mm-hmm. and when we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Last Starfighter, it's a classic, man. It's definitely more of like a cult kind of classic. Yeah. So all right, so number 8, I have my only Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Okay.
So I was gonna go with Terminator, but when I really think about it, T2 is my favorite, and that is in the 90s. So I excluded Terminator, and I went instead with Predator.
Wow.
Because the original Predator is – yeah, dude, I love this movie. It is just – it is hilarious. Okay, the sheer amount of one-liners in this movie, you know, you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, you've got Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura. You know, there's literally – keep this in mind. In this movie, there are two – future governors.
Yeah.
Okay. How does that happen?
How does that?
I mean,
yeah.
Name for me another movie in which two actors turn will become governors. I mean, unless Ronald Reagan was in a movie with somebody else who at some point became a governor, yeah. I cannot say that I know of any other movie that has done more for us in politics than the movie Predator. Okay. I mean, there's just so many iconic lines. There's so many iconic scenes. And it's so strange to kind of think about, because, like, Arnold doesn't really come back to the Predator franchise, right? Mm-hmm. And so – but then Predator goes on to become more of, like, a horror franchise and stuff like that. But the original one is really more kind of an action movie, you know, if you will. And it all starts with Arnold. I mean – when he walks in and Carl Weathers is, you know, sitting at the thing, you know, Dylan, you son of a bitch, you know, and like the classic handshake, you know, get to the chopper. I mean, there's so many just classic lines in this movie. And while I'm not really a big fan of like the Predator franchise, like outside of this, you know, you have Aliens as well and stuff like that. But it's more so just, I mean, it's just so iconic. It's so classic. It's, you know, I mean, Arnold was on the map before this, mm-hmm. You know, but this is, to me, this and Terminator really are the two that just catapult him into like being, you know, one of the biggest stars. And again, there's two future governors in this movie. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, this is cool. I mean, I got to watch this like later, when the other Predator movies were coming out. Clearly, my mother was not going to let me watch this.
Yeah,
growing up. So I remember when I was a teenager, maybe even into college, and another Alien versus Predator movie was coming out, and I was like, all right, what is this all about? And I went and watched them all. Yeah, it was solid. It was really good. I was like, wow.
Yeah, but. And shout out, hey, quick shout out to Peter Cullen, who voices the Predator. He's also a mega 80s star in that he is also the voice of Optimus Prime.
Wow.
So, I mean, talk about that guy's range.
Yeah, really.
Right? You know what I mean?
Jesus, wow. Dude.
And then you got Carl Weathers, who's obviously at the time also a huge star for the movie franchise that he's in, which we will obviously get to at some point, probably towards the top of our top of our lists. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Predator, that is my number 8.
Nice. That is sick. Okay, cool. So for me, at number 8, and I'm even looking at some of my things going like, ah, should I move this around? It is what it is. So number 8, He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, I knew it was gonna be on your list. I was like, do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not super familiar with this, but Ez had me watch it once, and I was like, I know this is gonna be on his.
Oh my god, dude, this is one of those things. So it's kind of funny. Like some of the other ones that I'll mention, you know, I know that a lot of people have seen them. We're gonna get into some that like everyone's seen that movie, but I don't know that a lot of people have seen He-Man, Masters of the Universe, and it is such a good movie.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. Yes, he's in it. I mean, he's huge. And actually, you know, you think like, oh, can I root for that guy? Yes, you can. Yes, you can root for him. I mean, yeah. So it's Prince Adam, dude. I mean, he's, mm-hmm. it's sick. So, By the power of Grayskull, right? He is wielding the sword. I mean, he's just, it's such a cool thing. And they make it kind of real. It's got the 80s feel to it. It's realistic. There's a whole, again, it's sort of them showing up on our world trying to find, you know, this device that allows them to, you know, that allows He-Man to win this fight. It is just, it's sick. And there's such good music in it, too, that I was just like, I don't know. I've always liked it. It's always been one of my favorite 80s movies. So, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, I think also at the time, Dolph Lundgren is literally the perfect person to cast to play He-Man. Because he's blonde, he's tall, he's obviously, like, jacked. He's also kind of just been in... Whether he was just... I think it came after... I would have to say it comes after Rocky IV, right? Mm-hmm. I mean...
Probably, yeah, 87.
I don't know. 87. So 2 years after, and so he was just in a mega movie. So casting Dolph Lundgren, because you know people are like, oh, Dolph Lundgren's one of these big action stars, and I'm like, is he? I mean, like I know he is. Like that's kind of his thing. But it's like I would put him even below the tier of like Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, I cannot think off the top of my head other than this and Rocky IV of the Dolph Lundgren movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like you know, so. Nothing against him. I mean, Dolph Lundgren's great. I mean, in Expendables, he's great. Rocky, he's great. This, he's great. He's great as well. I mean, it's classic. And I think, you know, given the franchise and everything at the time, I think they did a great job with it.
Yeah. Let me read to you guys just a quick synopsis. So if you've never heard of it or you're interested in it, what have you? I mean, it doesn't have the best score and reviews, but I think it's freaking amazing, and you have to watch it. So when the evil Skeletor finds a mysterious power called the Cosmic Key, he becomes nearly invincible. However, courageous warrior He-Man locates inventor Gildor, who created the key and has another version of it. During a battle, one of the keys is transported to Earth, where it is found by teenagers Julie, who is Courtney Cox, and Kevin, who is Robert McNeil. Let's see. Both He-Man and Skeletor's forces arrive on Earth searching for the potent weapon. So it's just kind of cool that like there's this battle that's going on in Eternia, and it kind of one of the keys gets transported over to Earth, and these teenagers get roped into this whole thing. And yeah, the way in which they fix the cosmic key is just. It just kills me. It is hilarious. It's actually really, really kind of funny. There's music involved, and it's just like, wow. So, yeah, I love it. He-Man.
Let's go. It's great.
The power.
Oh, it's so good. So good. All right. So, okay, as we get into number 7, I'm pretty sure Ez probably has one of these movies. This is where we're probably going to start to be like, oh, I have that on my list, but it's – this number, and our order is just slightly different. Yeah. So at number 7, I have a movie that showed up on a lot of people's lists. Let me say that. A movie from a franchise that a lot of people have on their list, but I would say that the majority of people have the first entry as the pick of this franchise. But to me, the third movie has always been my favorite, and I can go on the record and say the best. We don't have anything Star Wars on the list, but I am going to pick something, you know, that's a George Lucas creation featuring Harrison Ford. And hey, you know what? Let's bring him back, Sean Connery. And that is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I've always preferred this one to the original. Cause I think a lot of people think the second one's just kind of okay. And then, you know, you get to the Kingdom, the Lost Skulls, and that one's cool too, the Crystal Skulls. But to me, it's always been The Last Crusade because it's Indiana Jones and his dad. You know, you have Harrison Ford, who's this new, you know, actor. He looks like he's going to be this new action thing. He's been Han Solo. He's now Indiana Jones. And then you have a veteran actor who everyone knows, Sean Connery, James Bond. And you have both these guys on the same screen. And Sean Connery is playing his dad, and they're on, you know, the Last Crusade, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, the first one you're fighting Nazis and dealing with the Ark of the Covenant and stuff like that. But now you're seeking the Holy Grail. And, you know, it's just I always love those kind of, like, I love National Treasure. You know, I love the Tomb Raider games and Uncharted and all that stuff where you're like seeking, you know, like historical treasure and stuff like that. They literally, when the scene that always gets me is the scene where they show up and there's like a Knights Templar,
yeah,
like, you know, guarding the Grail. You know what I mean? Oh, it's just, it's so good. It's a classic. I don't know why. I've just always preferred this one, over the original. I think it's just also just because you have Sean Connery there as well, and I think they're so good together, and it's his dad, and it's just like this epic quest. And so Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love the Indiana Jones series, the movies. It's fantastic. Yeah, like I don't know if you want to if we should bounce around or not, but that's definitely. But except I guess not. So that's not actually technically on my list. So, you know, but that's cool. Yeah. The last one is really good, and it is neat that you kind of get to see his dad and that dynamic. And it is the one that's played, I think, more on TV. It's just more enjoyable and it's easy.
Well, they use Petra, right? You know, at like the Petra as like, oh, like, you know, stuff like that. So it's like they're using real places and stuff like that. And again, I mean, anything that anytime you have John Williams, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, you know, I mean, it's a home run. I mean, everything that those guys touch is, you know, a home run. I mean, just go over. I mean, anytime John Williams is doing the music. Okay, how many movies we've already covered at least two movies in which John Williams does the music. All right, we got Superman and we got this. And I mean, everything those guys touched. I mean, you know, Steven Spielberg, this is when he's becoming the greatest director of all time. And George Lucas, you know, those guys are buddies and stuff. And so, I mean, Harrison Ford. I mean, you can't go wrong. So it ultimately comes down, I think, for a lot of people, which Indiana Jones do you prefer? I would certainly say most people probably go with the original as kind of their best, but for me, it's always been this one. But you know, the funny thing about Indiana Jones is I think the most iconic thing about Indiana Jones is running from the, you know, you have Indiana Jones and he's running and here comes the big boulders, but that's from the second movie,
right?
So, and that's the one people are like, that's not, you know, the Temple of Doom.
Yeah,
but that's, I think, anytime you show something where you throw a throwback to a movie or something that's iconic, I mean, that's the most iconic thing, but it's from neither of those movies.
Yeah, some people really like Temple of Doom. I'm not a big fan of, I prefer Raiders of the Lost Ark over, I mean, it's, I don't know, the second one, I'm like, the third one, yeah, it was much needed. I'm glad they did that and they didn't stop it the second one, because I was not a fan. But
So I'm for me, it's the third one. You know, and then they get to the Grail, and I love the scene where there's all those Grails, and then which one is it? And they pick out the one that's like the most basic one, and you know, they have the leap of faith, right, where they're standing there over the thing, you know, and so it's. And so it's good. So I loved it. And again, I had HBO as a kid for some reason. I think we accidentally got it for free. And so, you know, there's going to be like a handful of movies that I'm about to talk about and be like, oh, yeah, I watched this on HBO when I was a kid, because that would have been early 90s or whatever, mid 90s. And so these are the movies they were showing because they were only a couple years old. So for me, my number 7, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. All right, well, for me, and this is one that everyone knows and everyone loves this movie, but it's only at number 7 because I get some fun stuff coming up here. But E.T. had to hop on there, you know? So
hey, hold on. Are we talking about Steven Spielberg and John Williams again?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. It's I love this movie. It was, again, one of those that, like, growing up, what movies are you allowed to watch as a kid? You know what I mean? So this one was accepted by my mom. It was okay to watch. I watched it with my cousins. It's pretty cool. And it's not really one that I go back and watch a lot, but, like, whenever it's on, I mean, you know, or I guess once in a great while, I do throw it in, but it's not something that I watch on the regular. But it's such a classic. It's so good. Elliot, you know... phone home.
Well, yeah, I mean, the
whole thing.
I mean, yeah, the phone, E.T. phone home, the bike. I mean, the bicycles is like, I mean, that's like one of the most iconic, you know, scenes ever. Yeah, Drew Barrymore is in this movie. I mean, it's, you know, E.T.'s, E.T.'s, E.T. is great. It's a classic. Hey, Kathleen Kennedy. All right. I know it for our Star Wars fans out there, we may not be super pleased with her right now, but back in the day, you know, she did some some pretty impressive work. So I will certainly give her some credit back there. Yeah, I mean, E.T. is one of the most iconic. I mean, the finger touchings. I mean, that's one of the most iconic things in ever. Yeah.
Yeah. It made me believe.
I was, and it's like, you know, and we didn't grow up in the 80s, but it's like, you know, what was because like for us, the more those 90s movies, you know, like I think like we'll cover these when we get to them, like Space Jam, you know, all of this stuff. Like, what would it have been like when E.T. just came out and it's like, you know, changing, you know, everything.
Right.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, all of the prosthetics and everything they did. You know, I'd actually probably go as far to say, you know, I mean, this came out, what was this, 1982. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at the work that they're putting in here on E.T. It was kind of interesting actually watching, just to switch here to talk about Star Wars a little bit. You and I watched that The Mandalorian documentary where they're talking about how they created everything. And Jon Favreau was talking about, well, I used the tech that I learned when I did Lion King, and then I took it forward with this, and I took it forward with this. Well, I mean, here you have, you know, Steven Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy and all this stuff talking about, which she's in that as well, talking about it as well, some of the stuff. It's like, well, some of the things I'm sure he learned on E.T., he later uses in Jurassic Park, right? And so, you know, it's just kind of that natural progression as you're progressing through animatronics and stuff like that.
Yeah. It is neat to kind of look. Actually, 82, and I got a couple from 1982, so some crazy stuff was going on. And again, the Star Wars hype was real, and 83 is Return of the Jedi, so yeah, that's an interesting year.
All right, man. Well, I'm sure this is one we both have on our list. I have it as my number 6. Esme have it a little bit higher just because of the hype we're in right now. And that is The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
So as they have it a little bit higher.
Yeah.
So especially as we get closer to the top, it's just going to be, we both have these on our list. You don't have to reveal when yours is. We can wait. Okay. We can wait until you get there. Or if you have it way higher, we can wait to talk about it. I'm fine.
It's not much higher. It's not much higher. You're good. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we talked about it a little bit earlier, just talking about, you know, Cobra Kai. And again, I mean, it is iconic. It is classic. Mr. Miyagi makes the entire movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, oddly enough, it's like here's a movie and you look at the 80s, right? And everybody's becoming these big, huge action stars. And somehow you have a movie with, you know, a young kid and, you know, an Asian actor who I'm sure people aren't really super familiar with, and you come up with just this absolute classic. Yeah. Right. I mean, every scene, I mean, wax on, wax off, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like the training when he's on like the boat and he's doing, you know, the punch, all the things when he's standing on the beach and he's learning, when Mr. Miyagi's teaching him, you know, all of your power into, you know, this 1 inch, right?
Yeah.
And boom,
yeah.
Boom. And then, I mean, you're the best around. Nothing's ever going to get you, you know, keep you down. And then the final thing, the crane kick, okay?
Which
and
is an illegal now high says, kick, by the way.
It is.
Didn't know that until illegal, Cobra Kai. Man. So
yeah, until Cobra Kai. I mean, it's an absolute classic. And the rest of the franchise, actually, the one I think I've seen the most is might actually be the Hilary Swank one. Again, why? Because I had HBO when I was a kid, and that came out in 92 or 93, I think. And so,
yeah,
it's up there. But I mean, it's so iconic. It's so classic. Even without Cobra Kai, it would still be like, I mean, just an absolute classic movie from the 80s.
Yeah, no, that yeah, it's solid, and we'll talk a little bit more about. I'll share my thoughts here on it in a second.
Because exactly,
it's good. Okay.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's go. What's your number 6 says?
Yeah. So moving on. Number 6 here for me, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, I don't have a Star Trek movie on mine.
Yeah,
it's in my honorable mentions.
Yeah,
which we can say when we get to our number ones before we do those. Yeah. But I was like, I guarantee Ez is gonna have a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, yeah. So I got Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. It is so good. And remember that it's not Captain James T. Kirk at this time. It is Admiral He is Admiral James T. Kirk, and a lot happens with promotions and demotions and things. And I mean, it's facing down Khan is awesome. This was one. This was like one of my mother's favorite movies as well. And when they did the remake of this, I mean, the ending of this
movie,
it
was so good.
It will bring tears to your eyes. Like it will bring like I. It's so good.
Two and three. It's Star Trek two and three are so good. They're so good.
Well, it's just like you finally get this this connection, a real true like Spock connects with his human side, and he and like when at the end, man, when Spock is he gives himself up, right, and he goes in the chamber or whatever, and he does the live long and prosper, you know. And Kirk does it back, and he's just like, and he's saying to him that you are my friend, and he's letting him know that we're friends, right? I was like, and then so when they did the remake, I was watching it with my mom, and she's just tearing up because Kirk goes in.
They do it the opposite other way.
And then he does the whole thing, and he touches the glass, and he says, you know, that they talk about friendship, and Spock loses it and figures out a way to save Kirk, and you're like, wow. Yeah, because it's Spock's Vulcan nature, and it's also Planet Genesis that allows him to be reborn, sort of. So, I mean, just a sick movie. Sick.
It's so good, and you're right. The remake is so good. I honestly think that Star Trek trilogy, JJ Star Trek trilogy is so underrated. I mean, that first – the way – and I think just the way they do it. Again, I love the way they said, here's a way where we can not – reboot an already amazing franchise, but reboot an amazing franchise by having it, you know, split dimensions, you know, and time and alternate timelines. And then again, you get to that second movie, and the whole deal was nobody knew going into it. And everyone's like, because you have Benedict Cumberbatch, and they give him a different name, and everyone's like, is he Khan, though? Is he Khan? Yeah. Right? And so the whole deal was like, is this actually the Wrath of Khan? Like, are they going to go that way? Right. And then you don't know it until like the end of the movie, and then, you know, you kind of get it, and then they flip it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. And of course, it's all based on, you know, the original, which I mean is just absolutely classic. I watched it a bunch when I was with my mom. That's one of my mom's favorite movies.
Yeah.
And she talks about it again. And then of course again, God, so classic. I mean, so classic. Yeah, it's by far the best of the original Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's well, I mean,
before you get to the next gen ones, it's the crown jewel of the William Shatner Star Trek.
Right. I mean, like the TV series is amazing. Then they go do the motion picture, and you're sort of like, wait, what's going on with the first movie? And the second one comes out and just kicks you in the freaking teeth, and you're like, wow.
And then the third one, and then the Search for Spock is good too. The Search for Spock is good. Then they kind of trail off.
The Voyage Home is a joke. What is going on?
Right. And then you get to Next Generation, and it kind of, I think, is revitalized. Yeah. And Next Gen is great.
Yeah.
And some of those Next Gen movies might be in my best favorite '90s movies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right, man. Okay, so. Okay, number five. Now, I know this is a movie we both have on our list. This might be Ez's number two, if I had to take a guess. I have it as my number five, and that is The Neverending Story.
Wow.
Okay, so I have this as my number five.
Okay.
Where do you before Stranger Things brought it back and made Neverending Story absolutely amazing.
Oh.
Again to a new generation that probably didn't even know what it was. I mean, I'm telling you right now, when I was a kid, I had tears.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, when Artek dies, you're barely into the movie. I mean, you were barely into the movie, and Artek dies, and you're like, what just happened, man? You have a little kid who finds this book. He gets sucked in the story. Falcor. I mean, and for me, the line I always remember is the giant, right? These used to be such strong hands.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just so many classic characters. It is just that perfect '80s fantasy movie, one which is actually in my honorable mentions. You know, I think in the realm of this, you know, I think you look at like Labyrinth, you look at Willow, And then Neverending Story are all that kind of like in that same like fantasy kind of genre. But Neverending Story is the best. The second one, I don't even know if it's 80s or it might be like 90 or something like that when it came out. It's good too, but it just doesn't touch the, you know, the classic, you know, the Ivory Tower, you know, the princess. It's just this epic quest. And then at the end, the kid gets to ride on Falcor in the real world, and that's never, I don't know how it really happens, but you know, it's great.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorites. I mean, I'll save some of my thoughts for it. Obviously it's on my list. It's huge. I have a lot to say about it. So say? It's sick. One of the best.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Ez, what do you have at number five?
So at number five for me, I actually have The Karate Kid. So I've got Karate Kid at five. Yep. Wasn't too much higher than yours, and that's just, I mean, just because it's one that really, I guess if I would have went back and looked at a list of 80s movies, I'd have been like, oh yeah, yeah, the Karate Kid would have been in my top 10 favorites, but it's not one that I thought about a lot actually until Cobra Kai came out, like really thought about. Yeah. And you're right in that I used to watch four. The next Karate Kid, like that was on all the time. I feel like, I don't know, like,
all the time, all the time when we were kids. Yeah.
So that is one that I remember watching quite a bit, and you know, I had a major crush. So whatever, but
absolutely. Who didn't,
right?
Yeah.
But no, I thought Karate Kid was great, and I just remember, like, more so, it wasn't that I liked it growing up; it was that my dad liked it, you know. And so then I was always watching, and I knew it. I just knew the movie inside and out, and you know, and then. I remember getting a little bit older and him talking about there being a second and a third one. So when Cobra Kai came out, like, I remember my dad was into it enough that he knew, because my dad doesn't know movies that well or actors or any of that kind of stuff.
Same.
So
yeah, I would say our dads are pretty similar, but for some reason, The Karate Kid is a movie that my dad has seen enough to know like some of the things, and he's, you know, my dad always makes the joke, you know, wax on. I mean, he knows who Mr. Miyagi is, right? Yeah. I mean, my dad is. You know, my dad, he describes himself as, you know, an old redneck, right? He likes to work on trucks, mow, you know, and hang out. So like that, yeah, but for him to even know about, I mean, The Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi and all this stuff.
Right, it says something. You know,
Yeah.
So Karate Kid's up there. If I had to pick I think my favorite one is actually probably just the first one. I don't really remember three very well either, with like that villain Snake and Terry, whoever it is that's in there, like,
right? So yeah, the third one is the one I definitely remember the least. The second one I remember only because I've seen, obviously, the first and the fourth one I've seen the most, but then the second one I remember just because I remember when he's fighting, I think it's Chosen or something like that, when he's fighting over in Japan. And he goes to do the crane kick, and he catches it. And it's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. That was sick. So, anyway, it's in there at number five.
All right.
Solid movie.
Okay. Hey, all right. Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. I'm sure these next few we'd have, and it's just going to be a matter of order. So, okay. So, on to number four. Now, this is another one in a franchise where I think everybody says – the first one is their favorite and probably the best. The second one is the one I have on my list. The third one I already know is Ez's favorite, but if he has it on his list, he better have looked up the dates, because I had to look it up, and it is not an 80s movie.
No, we got the same one at number four. I'm almost positive.
Back to the Future. I have Back to the Future too.
Oh, I've got one. I have the first one. I just have Back to the Future.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all three are great, but the third one is a 90s movie, unfortunately. Yeah. So I know that will be on Ez's list. And I love them all. I love them all. But for me, I think the first one, start to finish, is probably a better movie than the second one. But I just love in the second one how, you know, Doc shows up and he's like, we got to go to the future, right? And they actually go to the future. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's like the hoverboard, right? The hoverboard, and he's playing the arcade game and stuff like that. I mean, all three are amazing. I love the third one, I think people like the least because it's in the Old West, but I think it's great. But I mean, start to finish, the first one is iconic. And I looked up a bunch of lists of what everyone said is the best. movie, and everyone had number one as like the best 80s movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like if you're talking iconic 80s movies, that's the one that they had. But yeah. I've just for some reason always preferred the second one, and I think just because I love that they go to the future and you get to see it's all because of he raced, you know, what's his name, when he never should have, Biff, he shouldn't have, right? And then you know it all comes back to it, and it's such a great trilogy. Like, it works so well just as a trilogy, and the DeLorean is the coolest car. So I mean, again, I'm sure everyone has Back to the Future on there, but I for some reason I've just always, I don't know, the second one is the one I like to go to, and I think it's just because the first one's always on TV, and so the second one's just always where I go to.
Yeah, and see, the second one is one I didn't know as well until I got a little bit older, but because there for a while the third one was on TV
all the time, exactly,
quite a bit. So And the first one is one that I had seen just way more, so I liked it. Actually, for a long time, I did not really even know, like, I hadn't seen the second one. So I remember just only knowing the first one, and then I would see the third one, and I kept going, what is this one where they go with the hoverboard, you know? And then I finally saw it, but yeah, it's solid. I absolutely freaking love Back to the Future. Such a good, so that's my number four, too. So I got that at number four. And
yeah, I mean, it's an amazing, again, that's something where I think the thing to do with Back to the Future would be, don't reboot it, but I think you could make a Back to the Future 4 and use the characters and turn it into a next generation thing. Mm-hmm. I totally think you could do it, and have Christopher Lloyd and oh God, how am I blanking on his name? Oh God, Marty McFly's actor.
You totally.
Michael J. Fox. Yeah, I mean, you know, when it came to Michael J. Fox, I was considering Teen Wolf, but I was like,
Teen Wolf.
Absolutely awesome. I mean, the shoes, right? And that's the other thing too. He's got the Nike, you know, the Nike lace ups in the second one.
Christopher Lloyd is still. I mean, he's.
He's
81 years
old.
Right,
but when you look like you're 81 when you're 30, then, you know, it just looks like you've never aged. So, I mean, yeah.
I mean, good Lord. Yeah, that's awesome.
He could do it.
Yeah.
All right, so we both kind of went there, so I'll go. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll go to my number 3. Okay, so now the top 3 for me, it was really about order. And so I had to really think about it, and it really came down to, because this is where I was trying to be like, okay, which one do I think is best? And then I was like, no, this has to be favorites. If I'm sitting down and I'm like, I want to watch something from the 80s, what's the order I'm going with? So at number 3, again, I watched this on HBO when I was a kid, and I was like, I'd heard everyone talk about it, and then I watched and I was like, this movie is literally freaking amazing. We got Tom Cruise, we got Val Kilmer, you know. Top Gun. Wow. I got it number 3. Highway to the Danger Zone. I'm sure this is a lot of people's number ones, but for me, I got two more above it. But I mean, Top Gun. I love that they're doing a sequel to it. I mean, everything about this movie. You know, you start off, you've got the sick Top Gun anthem, Highway to the Danger Zone, Goose, Maverick, Iceman. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I love Val Kilmer as kind of that villain in this movie. He's always chomping. The most heterosexual scene in all of movie history, in which Tom Cruise and they're all playing beach volleyball in jeans, and you got Kenny's Loggins playing with the boys going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, just go ahead and say it. It's a great scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then it comes to the end. They actually have to kind of work together. It's great. It's Top Gun. It's an absolute iconic classic. Everything about that movie. Just screams 80s. I mean, it is just, and that's why I'm sure it's a ton of people. Our buddy Tom, I'm sure this is his number one. I mean, easily has to be his number
Well,
one.
And here's the thing. So the first time I saw this movie, and this is no joke, was with Tom, and it was in high school. And I had never seen, like, it might have been on, but I did not actually know. And I remember when he said to me, "You've never seen, like, actually through Top Gun," and I was just like, "Nope, I just never." Mm-hmm. Not on my radar, man. So he knew. I knew the songs, and I knew some of the you know, the references, cultural, you know, our references to it. But like, hadn't seen it. So loves it.
I still have the soundtrack on cassette tape.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, I do. I have the Top Gun soundtrack. So and so then, you This is not your number three.
No, I don't have this on my list.
What?
Not on my list. No, it's wow. Again, I've only probably ever watched it once or twice.
Okay.
Once or twice, dude. If you ask me a favorite 80s movie, like, would I put
– this is favorites, too.
Yeah, would
some,
I put this in?
Because some of these movies, like, well, you just haven't seen as much yet.
I wouldn't put it in.
Yeah, so
– yeah.
Okay, hey, that's fine. And I'm sure a lot of people, this is their number one. Again, this isn't best. This is just kind of our favorites. But Top Gun, I mean, it's so classic. I mean, you've got that love and feeling scene, you know, you know, I did it upside down, right? When he's talking about the maneuvering, the scene where he's like, you know, on the motorcycle racing, and he's like, yeah, you know, I've got the need for speed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I mean, everything about this movie. I mean, I know, like, our buddy Tom could literally probably quote this movie start to finish.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. He used to talk about it all the time, and I would just be like, that's where we got to the point where I'm like, I don't know, bro. Like, he was like, you gotta watch it. So yeah.
All right, man. Yeah. What do you got at number three? Yes.
So at number three, we already mentioned this. So I have Raiders of the Lost Ark at number three.
Okay. Yeah.
And I actually really like this one. I know some people, you know, they're like, again, three is well liked by everyone, but I love this. It's dark. It's got some real seriousness to it. It's the one that I watched the most with my parents growing up. Now later in life, The Last Crusade was seemingly on more, and we watched that more. But I remember this being one that they like, and my dad just loves the idea of, you know, like thinking about the Ark of the Covenant, right? And where is it? What's going on with it? That kind of thing. So that was pretty neat. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would say the majority of people say this is their favorite, or they would consider it the best. I think I'm the oddball out by picking Last Crusade.
Well, I actually don't. I mean, I go back and forth. I mean, really, this is one though that I just remember earlier on watching it. Every time I went down to visit my family in Kentucky, literally every single time, this was on, and we were watching it at my Uncle Lester's house. Like I can see it, and yeah. So I have all these memories attached to it, and I love it. It's just darker. It has kind of a darker feel to it, and it's more serious.
He's fighting the Nazis, you know, and stuff like that. And this is really to me is when, and I'm sure it probably started a little bit before this, but this is to me is the first thing I think of. It was like when did everyone just use the like Nazis or remnants of Nazis as like the standard? Hey, we need an enemy, yeah, right, that everyone can just hate. And it's like, oh, this is at least one of those. Okay, well, let's just make it Nazis, all right? Because everyone can agree to hate them. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. everyone can agree, can just agree on
but
that.
This one was cool because it actually had, like the idea is that, like, you're not just forcing them in as the villain. It made sense. Like, they really made it make sense.
Right, because of when it takes place, yeah, and everything.
And searching for the power, searching for lost relics and stuff. And you're like, wow, that was actually... Right.
Hey, then, you know. and then he goes to use it, and oh, that was a bad idea.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, not good. Yeah,
yeah. So no, yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, absolute. I mean, it's I mean, again, hey, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, yep, John Williams.
Yeah.
How many times that's good. Although I will say the one thing about this, you know, as we know, as Star Wars fans, Harrison Ford's like, man, I don't want to be typecast as Han Solo. Well, now you're typecast as Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and they're really similar characters. So.
Right.
All right, man. Okay, so down to our final two. So for me, I went back and forth between my number two and my number one, because sometimes I think, is this my number one? And then I just go back and forth, but I ultimately ended up picking this as my number two. And then I was also going back and forth because I love the original and I love the sequel so much. And I said, which one do I really like more? But I ultimately settled on what I think is, I think it's a top 10, maybe best movie ever made. And that is Ghostbusters.
Wow.
I mean, Ghostbusters, man. I mean, again, it's another movie where it's start to finish, it is just absolutely epic, and it just so defines the 80s. Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, yeah, Rick Moranis. I mean, it's such a good, it's just so good. I mean, Ernie Hudson. I mean, everybody's in this movie. Don't Cross the Streams, you know, and then of course the Ghostbusters song, the car.
Yeah,
I mean, everything about this movie is just it's so good. Bill Murray is so good playing off Sigourney Weaver, you know, as like that kind of love interest where he's clearly like, hey, you know, I don't know as much, you know, as some of these other guys, right? He's a little more skeptical.
Yeah.
The Stay Puft the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the second one, right? The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is the second. No, is it? I always mix them up.
Yeah, I don't know. What I do know is was there some bad language in this movie? I'm just trying to remember because.
Oh, well, there's bad language and there's a scene where a ghost kind of hooks up with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, okay.
Which I watched an interview of him on Joe Rogan, and he said that because he's like a big believer in ghosts and stuff like that. Yeah. He said that actually happened to him.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
So yeah.
I remember this being like all of my cousins were watching it. I remember it being referenced all the time growing up. This was one I wasn't allowed to watch until I was a little bit older. I did see. I've seen all the Ghostbusters. Love them, but. Yeah, none of the Ghostbusters made it on my list, but this is this is good.
No, I looked it up. The second one is where they pilot the second one is where they pilot the Statue of Liberty with the Super Nintendo, the original Nintendo controller. But the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is in this one, and I was just like, wait, do they fight him? I was just trying to kind of remember. But yeah, of course, obviously you have I Am the Gatekeeper, I Am the Gozer and Gozer, and everything, and it's so good, you know. And so so anyway, so I got Ghostbusters as my number two, and it was tough between this and I'll get to my number one, but I got it as my number two.
That's good. I really wonder what you have at number one. I honestly have no idea. So for me. So we're on to number two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So at number two for me, I have The Goonies.
Okay.
The Goonies.
All right.
I know that seems crazy. If you were like, wait, what?
No, that's fine because now I know what you have as I think I know what you have as number one.
Yeah.
And I think I have something similar at number one.
Okay. So for me, The Goonies was I if you said like you just gotta pick something, and you have like, you know, one or two choices. What's that going to be to throw in? That's an 80s movie. It's The Goonies. I watched that movie over and over and over again. I had a crush on the girls that were in it. I wanted to go find pirate treasure. I'm now still obsessed with finding treasure in Oak Island and all the treasure maps and the, you know, One-Eyed Willie, the whole thing. You know, I thought it was amazing. So, and what's funny is I was into this movie. I watched this movie a lot. It was probably about a year or two ago. It was on, and I was watching it. And my dad sits down and he goes, "What's this?" And I was like, "You've never seen The Goonies?" And he was just like, "Well, I don't think so." And he's sitting there and he's like, "This is really good." And I'm like, "Dad, no, like that's crazy." I was like, "This movie's on all the time," but like I think you know when he has the remote and he's in charge, we had to watch whatever Dad wanted to watch. But you know, this was
right.
I'm wanting to watch. I'm like, no, I'm watching this. We're watching it. We can watch whatever you want to watch later, but we're finishing this out. And it was towards the beginning of it. He loved it. Absolutely loved it. My sister came over and she was like, "Dad, you've never seen this movie?" And he was just like, "Well, it's probably been on. I mean, some parts of it look familiar."
Right.
You know? And it was hilarious. But I'm like, no, Sarah and I would quote this movie. My sister, Sarah, we would quote, we loved this movie. It's such a good, it's just good for kids. It's a good kids movie.
Yeah.
In the 80s, yeah.
So I had never seen The Goonies until I moved out to Portland and then had gone to Cannon Beach, which is where it's filmed. Like, you can go to the house. Like, you can go to The Goonies' house, although they don't really like it when you go. I think actually they just sold it, but there was like just a regular couple that owned that house, and they're always like, "Oh my God," because mm-hmm. people are always coming on and wanting to see it.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it until I was in my 20s. Definitely. But yeah, I mean, again, this is another one that when I was looking up 80s movies, this was on so many people's lists. I have it in my honor. I have it in my honorable mentions just because I just didn't watch it as much. But I mean, The Goonies, you know, hey, you guys,
oh,
you know
what
I mean?
Gosh, so good. It just it's so great. The whole idea just that they're on this mission. They're just each of the characters is so different, and they're about to mm-hmm. lose their home. They're all about to be split up, you know, and it's just
it's totally Stranger Things.
Yeah,
I mean, Stranger
it's
Things,
got that
obviously.
Vibe, yeah.
Well, then God, how am I blanking on his name? Sean Astin. Yeah. Sean Astin is in Stranger Things,
exactly.
Right? You know, and it's such a similar. I mean, it's such a similar idea.
And you know, I heard like one of the things. I mean, he was this. you know.
I mean, literally, Stranger Things is, okay, let's, what happens if you mix Ghostbusters with the Goonies? And that,
there it is.
You got Stranger Things. Right, I mean, yeah.
So Sean Astin's, you know, he was a child actor. And so I think one of the things, too, they wanted to bring him on, one, because of the connection to this 80s vibe. And then also he got to talk with a lot of the cast and stuff. It's just kind of a cool sort of thing, mm-hmm. just to say, like, look, you know, this, you know, being a star this early, look where he's at. He's fine. He's a good family guy. Just awesome dude. So, yeah.
All right, man. Okay. Well, on to our number ones. Just before, really quickly, I'll run through just a couple of honorable mentions I have here. I have Willow, Ghostbusters 2, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which is my all-time favorite Christmas movie. Die Hard, I have the Goonies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Three Amigos. Just a couple I had scribbled down here that did not make it onto my list. Do you have it? And then you got 1989 Batman, some stuff like that didn't make it on my list. Do you have any of those?
Yeah, I had Batman. Just... What else did you have? I had The Breakfast Club on there, actually. Funny one, as I was doing my research, I found The Land Before Time. Before Time made it on there. I was like, oh, man, I used to watch that all the time. That was like my go-to, you know, so... but no, I agree with all of those. The Batman, Tron, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, if we were allowing it, of course, Star Wars, Return of the Jedi would be both Ez and I's number one. Yeah. And then, of course, you have Empire Strikes Back, which is pretty much, I mean, there's a Rolling Stone countdowns of all the movies ever, and they have that as number one.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But this is where I think Ez and I are going to differ just a little bit, because I am going to take a guess that he has Rocky IV as his number one movie.
Actually,
baby.
I don't.
No.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, because my number one is Rocky III.
Here's the thing.
I know everyone has Rocky IV as what they consider to be the best Rocky movie, because it did single-handedly end the Cold War. Okay. I mean, that movie came out and Russia was like, you know what, we're good. Let's get out. But if I had to choose between the two, I think Rocky III, I think it's a better movie. Not even do I like it better. But I think start to finish, it's just better. I love the idea that Rocky gets beaten,
mm-hmm.
and he has to, you know, he gets humbled, right?
Yeah.
He's winning all these fights. I like Mr. T as Clubber Lang. Hulk Hogan makes a cameo as Thunder Lips.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it's where you first get the Eye of the Tiger, okay? Yeah. You first get the Eye of the Tiger, and then Apollo Creed has to train him. Okay.
Yeah, that is sick.
Because Mick dies. Yeah. And so Apollo Creed, his rival,
uh-huh.
has to come train him and get him back on his feet.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Get the will to survive. All right.
Yeah.
And then he ends up going toe-to-toe with Clubber Lang. And he ends up beating him. Using the rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, he used the rope-a-dope in there as well. And then the ending where it's like him and Apollo go to that, and then they just do that, you know, kind of like that freeze frame. I think because Rocky IV is obviously amazing. Apollo Creed dies, and then, you know, he has to go beat Ivan Drago, and there's the America-Russia thing to it too. But I just think start to finish, I've always just preferred Rocky III. I think there's just more to it than the other movie. It's kind of just like Apollo Creed dies, he has to go train, and then he goes to Russia and has this epic fight with Ivan Drago. But I mean, really, if I'm picking in the entire series, those two Creed movies are like really good. Okay, I mean the Creed the follow-ups, those are really good.
Yeah.
And then Rocky V is like, Rocky V sucks. And like the first two movies, everyone always says like the second one's the best. Like I see so many people arguing that the second Rocky movie is the best. And I'm like, the first two movies are just long. Like they are so long.
Yeah.
Like they're just slow. And so for me, it's like Rocky III and IV. Rocky V's okay. It's not good. I don't like Rocky V. Rocky VI, you know, just Balboa. That one's pretty cool. But it's kind of sad and depressing. So... for me, I mean, of course, not all of those are even in the 80s anyway, but I prefer 3 over 4, but I get why people choose 4 as probably the best Rocky movie.
Yeah, 4 is my favorite. I love Rocky 4 is absolutely nuts, and it's my dad's favorite. It's the one, I mean, come on. Yeah, Apollo dies. I mean, like...
Yeah, well, Mick dies.
Mick dies, and, I know, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, but I mean, okay, Apollo was killed, all right? Let's just put it like that.
I know. They're both good, and again, you know, you go back and forth on it, but I just like three because Rocky gets wrecked, like, early in the movie by Clubber Lang, and he's got to figure out how to come back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's only through Apollo Creed training him.
Yeah.
Right, to get him back, and I love that Apollo Creed's in his corner, you know, and it's like, let's go.
Yeah, that is sick. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, no, I actually kind of and here's the other thing, picking movies just to go put in, I guess honorable mention, that should have been in there, Rocky for sure, or you know, as you say, three or four being in 80s movies, but yeah, they did not make it into my list, man. No. No way.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. All right.
My dad.
What's his? It's if none of these are. I didn't even.
Oh no.
We
already mentioned it. We just kind of forgot about it. Like, so. It's. You were wondering how high up it would be.
Oh.
It's
your number one.
It is my number one, dude. It is the Never Ending Story. That is why when in Stranger Things when they made that freaking reference, ever living mind. That was what I kid you not. So. Number one, I watched, you know, I always watched Return of the Jedi growing up. That was my favorite movie. But then second to that was literally The Neverending Story. My grandma was all about it. I always put that in. Third was actually the Rats of Nim,
Secrets of Nim.
Yeah, kind of thing. But The Neverending Story, I had such a crush on the Empress-like child, right? I was so into her. And I wanted to be Atreyu. I wanted so badly to be the one who was called, right, to the Emerald Court and then given this task to go face down the nothing. And I just was like, this is next. I used to dream about that and what it would be like to go and fight in this grand, you know, type of thing. It just, you know, Atreyu, Falcor, the whole thing. I was so into it. Because it's the never-ending story, and there are all these different chapters, and everyone can write themselves into this story. You just have to dream it, right? It's imagination.
Bastion?
Bastion's the guy.
Name. And when he's like, they keep cutting back to him like reading, and he's like. Reading this book and it's like, wow, like what's going on?
Yeah.
And like when he's crying when Artek dies.
Oh, dude, it's nuts. And well, the thing is, out the gate, the childlike empress is dying. She is actually dying. Her physicians are there, and again, they're looking for this warrior. And it's I don't know. It's so crazy. You think you're just reading the story, like you forget. Bastion is reading the story about Atreyu going on this quest. And Atreyu, like, it does. You need Bastion. Bastion actually is a part of the story, and has to name, you know, the childlike empress. And you're just like, it's sick. But really, what it comes down to is, I watched that so much growing up that it was literally the number one thing. I remember we had it recorded on VHS. Later on, we had my grandma had the actual tape, but then it was recorded over so we could have it at my mom and dad's house. And it was just on all the time. My mom totally approved of it. It was something that was just like we could watch on a rainy day. So again, it was Return of the Jedi or it was The Neverending Story, legit. And then when I found out there was a Neverending Story 2, I lost my mind. By the way, Neverending Story 2,
is it a 90s movie? I think it's like,
yeah,
or it could be late.
Let me look this up.
But the kid, the guy who plays it, like died, didn't he?
Yeah. So this is a 1990 movie.
1990, The Neverending Story 2. Yeah, the next chapter.
Yeah, if you...
Well, they replace... What's his name? Somebody else plays the kid, yeah.
Right, exactly. Bastion, I forget what happened to that actor. I think something tragic.
I think something tragic happened.
But where is it at? A little interesting connection. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can find... Well, one of the guy... Who reads the audio book for Game of Thrones?
Harry Lloyd. Roy Dotrice.
Roy Dotrice. Okay, let me look him up real quick here because I believe he's in Neverending Story. Let me see. Wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Roy Dotrice is in the Neverending Story, and I found this out when I was like, going through where is he at? I forget which character like he plays or the name of that character, but he's one of those little like Atreyu shows up and is trying to pass like the pass through the what are they, a Sphinx or something that he's trying to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's you know, yes, trying to help him out there. But anyways, just sick. There's so many cool little things. Rockbiter is awesome. Falcor is unreal. You know, a luck dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all need one of those in our life. So, but yeah, the Childlike Empress, again, who didn't have a crush on her? I mean, come on.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so let me I just want to read some of the plot here. There's Moria, the ancient one, in the swamps of sadness, you know, Atreyu, you know, yeah, his beloved horse Artax is lost to the swamp. But then he comes back at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And everything.
Yes. Yes.
Everything's okay. And then you got Falcor, right? Yeah. I mean Falcor is the real star, you know, the real star of the show, okay?
Yeah. If,
and like I love how everything has a name, right? You've got the Sea of Possibilities, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's based on a book. It's based on a book, and I think it maybe in a book series. It's a German book series, and it is. I've always wanted to kind of look into that a little bit more and see if there was. That's why they're able to have like chapter, you know, two, and there's even a third. Right. There's actually a never-ending story. Three. I think there's a never-ending story four. Quite frankly, that never made it to theaters. That was like just god awful.
The never-ending story three. It was 1994. Let me see. Oh god. They have another person play Bastion.
No, I think that was
the kid from Free Willy. Is what it looks like.
No way. Really?
I don't know, dude. I never saw Free Willy. So.
Escape from Fantasia. Wow. Look at Falcor. That's a joke. What is going on?
He looks like a
I mean, cheesy cow. That's pretty bad.
Oh my god. All right. Hey, man. All right, guys. Hey. Okay. All right. So let's move on to our final segment here. We're talking about movies. That was our 80s. Let us know, where do you agree? Where do you disagree? What's your favorite 80s movie? What's your go-to? And it's favorite, so it doesn't have to be what you think is the best. I'm sure there's, you know, Breakfast Club, a lot of those a lot of those are in there. So we're gonna close up shop here talking about the best foods at the movies. What is your go-to food when you go to the movies? Because I love going to the movies. I love the event. I love going, getting popcorn, getting snacks, sitting down, watching the previews. I like to get there early, get a good seat. You're hyped. You're like, okay, this is going to be fun. This is going to be cool. The only thing I don't like is when you go and there's a bunch of people that are cheering or stuff like that. You know, that's that's kind of my only one downside, you know, to the movies. But so as what is your go-to? What's your go-to when you go to a movie theater?
Well, so got to get a large Coke. Got to start off with that. And get a large popcorn. Got to get a popcorn. And so that's solid. Most people would say that, right? It's Milk Duds. That is the thing.
Yes.
If I don't have some Milk Duds, I'm not watching the film. I'm not comfortable. I'm not like, I don't know. It's that sweet, salty kind of like taste that you got to go with, you got to have. But that was my thing. And I'll say this. I'm not embarrassed to say this. When I was in high school and I needed to go to my fortress of solitude, I needed to meditate a little bit, I would go watch some of the worst. Remember some of the movies that I would take you guys to, or that I watched it and I wanted to rewatch it, and you guys were just like, what? Ez is ridiculous. I would be watching movies
by myself.
There
was a period of time in which in high school in which Ez went and saw movies by himself. And we were always like, why is he going by himself? Like, you, I mean, we're down to, you know, just down to go. But he's like, yeah, it's just, yeah.
I just had to go. Okay. I wanted to go by myself and just do my own thing, just get away. It was like a 2-hour period where nothing. It was just me and in the theater. Typically, I would go like a matinee, and no one was there. Like it was during the week, too. You know, it was like I didn't have any practice. I didn't have to work. I didn't have any tests or quizzes coming up, and I just would bounce to the movie theater. And then I always got that large Coke, that popcorn, and I got the Milk Duds. And honestly, if I didn't have enough money to get all of that, I would just say skip the popcorn, and I got the Milk Duds, double sugar. You know, I just
hey,
that's why I have a problem.
Hey, man. That's okay. That's okay, because I too am a Milk Duds at the movies guy. Yes. I actually, so I don't necessarily do the popcorn. I don't always do the popcorn because I don't like it. It's greasy. It gets in your hands. But anytime you go with people, you always get popcorn because you know it's the thing. It's the thing to do. I'm, you know, when it comes to soda pop, I'm more of a Sprite guy than I am a Coke guy. Really, I wish they had Pepsi products, but that's, you know, whatever. But for me, the one thing I'm guaranteed to get, I will not go to the movies if I cannot have Junior Mints. Okay. Yeah. For me, it's the whole thing. It, to me, it is like, I would never ever eat Junior Mints outside of the movie.
God,
not that they're not, not that they're not good or they're bad or something, but it's just like, you know, I like to get the box. I like to eat them there. I mean, they're freaking delicious. I mean, if somebody gave me some, I would obviously eat them, but I'm never going to go purposely buy them.
Right.
You know, like at a store. But yeah, I mean, then like my second tier is Reese's Pieces or, you know, or Milk Duds. Milk Duds is definitely on my thing. It's certainly that, you know, like there's some of the other things I like, the snow caps, you know, you always see
snow caps are there. Yep. Yep.
But it's the Milk Duds. I love the, and I mean, literally I eat the entire box in like one handful, right? I mean, just,
like
pour it in, but it's that you got the chocolate, the tiny little chocolate, you know, or Junior Mints, I should say, not Milk Duds. You get the tiny little chocolate, you know, with just a little bit of cream on the inside, and it's that kind of, you know, you get that minty flavor, and it's so good,
man. Yeah, it really is. And so I don't actually eat a lot of candy, like chocolates, sweets like that. And literally, it is the movie theater where I would go get those. Like, I also would not be buying Milk Duds anywhere else besides. Like, it's only at the movie theater that I get those, and. I remember, I don't know how this happened, but I remember early on when I was trying to get my, you know, I was in high school trying to figure out what do you get at the movie theater, what's a good thing. And you're also doing research, right? You're going to the movies to try and say, like, all right, like, one day I'm going to take a girl here. You know, one day it's going to happen, all right? Mm-hmm. You know, someone's going to agree to go to the movies with me. So you get the popcorn because there's not, like, you're not making a lot of, like, if you're eating nachos, I feel like there's such a crunch with that, it just seems like it's disruptive to the movie, even to like me listening and hearing it. So Milk Duds, no crunch, nothing. Popcorn, just, it's, you know, melt in your mouth, solid choice. But I would not be getting like nachos. People get nachos and I'm like, I don't get it.
All right, I just pulled up a list here of like a Screen Rant or something.
Yeah,
it's the first thing I typed in. I said ranked movie candy.
Yeah.
All right, and here's what they have, and I can tell you right now, some of this is just absolutely trash. They have 18. At 18, they have Whoppers. Okay. First of all, I love Whoppers.
Yeah.
I think they're good. Yeah. I wish I had them more often. The only time I feel like I really ever ate them was Halloween. Like, people would give them out. But, I mean, they're certainly not 18 considering some of the other stuff that's in there. Mm-hmm. 17, they have Goobers. I don't even know what that is. 16, they have Lemonheads.
No. I'm out. That's disgusting.
Whoppers should be ahead of that.
I don't even know Lemonheads should be a candy.
At 15, they have Milk Duds. Like,
that's
15?
That's a joke.
Milk Duds, dude. Milk Duds is my number three. Okay. Above Milk Duds, they have Dots. Okay. They have Juji Fruits. I don't even know what that is. Skittles. Okay. Swedish Fish. How are you gonna tell me that Swedish Fish is better than Milk Duds?
Yeah, but I'm glad that's on. That's a good candy choice, though. That's not a bad one.
They have Bunch of Crunch. I don't know. This must be something new. Butterfinger at 9. Reese's Pieces at 8.
Okay.
Starburst at 7. I just don't know that I really want Skittles.
And Skittles.
I don't know that I want that at a movie
with
theater.
Your popcorn, because you know somebody's getting a popcorn, and you're, what are you gonna do?
Right. Yeah. Because some people take M&Ms or whatever and they put them in their popcorn.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. At six they have Twizzlers. At five they had Red Vines. I'm glad to see they have Red Vines above Twizzlers, because that is smart. At four they have Raisinets. Okay, I don't know who made this list.
Yeah.
But get these jokers out of here. At three they have Snow Caps. At two, or excuse me, oh they have three. They have it tied. At three they have Snow Caps and Junior Mints. At two they have M&Ms. I mean, that's fine. That's
sure.
Fair.
Yeah.
At number one, they have Sour Patch Kids.
No, man. I mean,
what?
No.
What a joke.
No, that's not an enjoyable experience. I don't think that. I don't know who made that list, but I mean, I think
I would. I don't want sour candy at the movie
No
theater.
One's eating lemon heads and Sour Patch. No, they're not. I mean, maybe
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody that's eating Sour Patch Kids or lemon heads at a movie theater.
If they are, they're not really there for the movie. Like, they're just there to, I don't even know why they're there. Like, they were drug along and they want to be miserable, so they, you know, I mean,
this. Okay, I found a more extensive list. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just see some of the ones we maybe missed. Mike and Ike's is kind of a classy. The cookie dough bites. See, I always see those. I never get them. Good and Plenty. Yeah, you know, that's kind of something too. The hot tamale. See a lot of those. I'm just you know,
right.
I don't really do. Yeah, there they go. These people also have Sour Patch Kids as number one. So
what the heck?
Maybe we're missing out on something. But I'm out.
I'll pick. You know what I'll do? I'll pick a terrible movie, one that I know I'm not going to really enjoy, and I'll go try the Sour Patch candy. And I'll say, well, can't now. Got too many carbs. But
way too many carbs.
Yeah, not worth it. But
all right. This list. This is a more definitive. But I will say, on all these lists, they have Junior Mints towards the top. So that's. Mm-hmm. That is good to go. These guys have snow caps at the top. They say it's classic, it tastes good, plays well with popcorn overall. There you go. Yeah. So,
yeah. Question though. So I said nachos. Is that never, like, I know it's food versus candy, but I mean, like, do you?
Yeah, I mean, we said food. We definitely did say food.
Yeah, for this topic. I guess I'm asking you, like, have you ever? I mean, when I go to the movie theater, I'm not typically I've ate beforehand or something, and I'm not or I'm
yeah,
eating afterwards.
I don't ever. Yeah, I definitely see, I don't want nachos or something like that when I'm in the movie theater. That's
just too much.
Like,
I got to look down, scoop the cheese. I mean, it just seems like it's a lot, you know?
It's a lot. It's dark. So I have gone to a couple movie theaters where they have, like, waiters that will come to you, like, in the movie. I went with my brother Jeremy. He took me when we went and saw Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd order, like, beer, and you could order, like, you know, like chicken tenders and stuff like that. Now, that was freaking sweet. I would. But that's, like, you know, first of all, the tickets are like $20 because they don't have nearly as much seating. But yeah, I mean, I typically I'm not doing food. I'm gonna do, you know, because I think you could probably do like a soft pretzel as well. If you wanted and stuff like that, but for me it's candy. I'm even on keto. Not that we can go right now, obviously, because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess maybe some movie theaters are starting to open up, but when I go to the movie theater, keto or not, because since I don't go incredibly often, there will be Thin Mints.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about that.
Yeah,
there will be Thin Mints.
Yeah.
So. All right, guys. Hey, well, with that, let us know, what are some of your favorite 80s movies? What are your go-to snacks when you are at the movie theater? And we'll bring it up next time, because next time we might do our top 90s movies.
Yeah,
and it'll be a totally different list. But I'm sure we will have some follow-ups to some of the movies we have here. So. With that, guys, hey, we want to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, you know, give us a review on iTunes. We do have a YouTube channel as well, or send us an email at thematandezshow@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter. And that is it for us, guys, today. So this is Matt Nez signing off.